Now it's time for our question of the week. And last week we explored what would happen if the Earth's magnetic poles suddenly switched overnight. Ah! And this week Dinah is back with another one of your taxing questions.
Welcome to Question of the Week. This week we're looking at octopus brains. Neil from Cambridge asked,
does an octopus have one motor cortex with 8 divisions, one for each arm, or just one brain to control them all?
In humans, the motor cortex on the left side of the brain controls the right half of the body and vice versa. So can we apply similar logic to an octopodial? Here's Professor Scott Hooper from the University of Ohio to give us some insight.
A 2001 article in Science by Sombre, Gutfreund, Fiorito, Flasch, and Hochner gives the answer. Octopus arms contain a very large number of neurons. To show that these neurons generate arm movements, Sombre and her co-workers amputated octopus arms, and they then electrically stimulated nerves in the arms that normally carry information from the arms to the brain. This stimulation induced normal arm movement, and importantly, in many cases, the movements did not begin until after the stimulation had ended. What these experiments thus show is that signals from the brain trigger arm movements. They give the command to move, but it is the peripheral nervous systems, one in each arm, that actually calculate how to make the movements happen. Now, this is a very efficient way of doing things because it means that the brain can concentrate on the environment and on responding to it, not on boring calculations about what muscles to activate. And we have the same efficiency in human nervous systems. When we walk, it is spinal cord neural networks, not the brain, that's calculating in what order and how strongly leg muscles need to be activated to produce walking. And the higher centers of the brain are thus free to do other things, such as looking for predators, thinking, and talking on radio shows.
So the arms of an octopus really do have a mind of their own, working with ganglia or groups of nerve cells rather than motor cortices. Dr. Jeremy Niven from the University of Cambridge added that octopuses tend to preferentially use only a small subset of their arms, perhaps just one or two most of the time. This could potentially affect the relative shape and size of the ganglia in each arm. Next week, we'll be considering Linda's question on jumping out of a moving lift like an action hero or heroine.
Say a lift breaks and the car falls to the ground. If you jump up right before the car makes contact with the ground, so you would be in the air when the lift hits the ground, would you still land as hard as you would if you didn't jump at all?
And Kat's question on injuries and the weather.
I broke my elbow when I was younger, and now, when there's a sudden change in the weather, the joint really aches. I assume it's got something to do with the change in air pressure as a new weather front moves into the area, and if that's right, then how would it make my arm hurt?
Have you ever leapt from a falling lift? Or do you know why old injuries are affected by the changing weather? Send your answers and questions to questionoftheweek@thenakedscientist.com. That's all for this week. Back to the studio.
Thank you very much, Diana. So if you know whether or not jumping at the right time could save you from getting squished in a falling lift, or how old broken bones can act as a barometer on a personal basis, then do let us know. You just drop us a line. It's chris@nakedscientist.com, or you can email questionoftheweek@thenakedscientist.com.
And just before we close,